All right, folks, we're jumping into that vaunted Ben Shapiro Show mailbag. Remember, you have to be a subscriber in order for you to actually ask a question and have it answered. Colby says, I was wondering if you would agree that conservatives somewhat feed into the push to cancel and destroy American history by over-glorifying and mythologizing some figures in our history. In particular, I think of Abraham Lincoln, who is often praised high and low by Republicans and conservatives as a hero of the Republic, who won the Civil War and ended slavery with the Emancipation Proclamation. I personally have nothing against Lincoln and think he is deserving of praise and admiration for much of what he did accomplish, but having researched the Civil War in greater detail, I've come to believe that his myth has equally played the part of misinforming Americans about our nation's history and allowed progressives to better influence the populace to believe in modern lies. It just seems like it would be better for us to start talking about the Civil War as what it is, the greatest failure of American history, in which a good-natured but imperfect man tried to save the Union as the very demographics of our nation divided us to the breaking point in ways that still affect us to this day. I'm not sure what you mean by that last line. You know, there is a very open debate over Lincoln's interpretation of the Constitution. There's a very open debate in his time. Basically, the case that was made by Abraham Lincoln is that the Constitution embodied the values of the Declaration of Independence. He called the Constitution a frame of silver around an apple of gold, right? That was his basic description. The idea being that it was the values of the Declaration that all men are created equal with life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness that was guaranteed by the Constitution. And so what that meant is that the United States, as a country, had no obligation to allow states to secede for perceived misuse of the Constitution in, for example, ending slavery. So his case was that, for example, there was no right of state nullification, as was proposed by John C. Calhoun, former vice president of the United States under Andrew Jackson. Calhoun had made the case very early that states had the right to nullify. He had actually done that over trade tariffs. And that had been rejected forcibly by Andrew Jackson. But it became the basis of a broader theory of secession among members of the Southern states, who suggested that there was no power under the Constitution of the United States for the federal government to speak out on the issue of slavery in the South. That it's a states' rights issue. And as a states' rights issue, the federal government can't speak on it. And then they went even further. They suggested the federal government had no power to, for example, bar future states from allowing slavery. That the federal government did not have the power, for example, to prevent the capture and bringing back south of escaped slaves. This, of course, was facilitated by the Dred Scott decision, which suggested that the Constitution did not mean to allow the humanity of Black Americans. The worst decision in Supreme Court history. So in the lead up to the 1860 election, the case that Abraham Lincoln was making is that while he was no believer, he said this sort of stuff. Right? You should want the full picture of Abraham Lincoln. He said some pretty terrible things about Black people, particularly in the lead up to 1860, when what he was trying to say to white voters who might be inclined to vote against him on the basis of their own racism. He said, I don't believe in the equality of Black people. This is what Abraham Lincoln actually says in many of his speeches in like 1858, 1859. But the equality of human beings as provided for in the Declaration of Independence, equal rights, that is something that is provided for in the Declaration, and the constitutional structure was designed in order to facilitate the end of slavery. And it is a destruction of the American bargain to allow the continuation of slavery when the Constitution itself had many provisions that were designed in order to phase out slavery, including, for example, the end of the importation of slaves after 1808. We'll get to more on this in a moment. First, the cost of living has already increased 17% this year and continues to rise despite interest rate controls. Now more than ever, you need to be confident in the financial services companies you work with. And Birch Gold is the proven industry leader you want on your side. They show you how precious metals investments can fortify your lifestyle and your retirement, even in turbulent economic times. Birch Gold understands that navigating financial decisions can be intimidating. If you're considering converting an existing retirement account into a precious metals IRA, their dedicated in-house IRA department is there to guide you. Birch Gold values your questions and concerns. Their team is always available to provide answers and clarity. Whether it's about fees, taxes on rollovers, or the timing of the process, they're here to ensure you feel heard and informed. Text Ben to 989898 to talk to one of Birch Gold's experts and claim your free info kit on gold. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. The best part is it's not going to cost you a penny out of pocket. Just text Ben to 989898. Again, text Ben to 989898 to get started with my friends over at Birch Gold. Get all the information, then think about investing just a little bit of money in precious metals. Text Ben to 989898 to get started. So that was the argument made by Abraham Lincoln. Did Abraham Lincoln pursue acts during wartime that were unprecedented in American history? Sure. There's a draft during wartime. There were massive draft riots in New York. He suspended civil liberties. There are Supreme Court cases in which he was rapped on the knuckles for having suspended the writ of habeas corpus. He arrested political opponents in the press. He did all of these things. Also, if Abraham Lincoln is not president in 1860, how does American history subsequently go? Does the United States remain as a united country as opposed to a series of principalities on the American continent? Frankly, I think that the ins and outs of Lincoln's administration, the arguments that were being made by Stephen Douglas against him in 1858, the arguments that were being made by the Confederates in 1860, not the ones about slavery being good, obviously those are evil, but the arguments that were made over the Constitution and the nature of states' rights under the Constitution, those are fascinating. But the reality is that when push comes to shove, as Lincoln suggested, the Constitution is not a death pact. The Constitution is not made to destroy itself. And that's why Lincoln is justly celebrated despite all of the expansions of federal power, many of which were clawed back in the aftermath of the Civil War. And Sean says, Ben, longtime subscriber. First, I wanted to share how overjoyed I was at the announcement of Benke. As a grown man and full-fledged member of the Sweet Baby Gang, I don't cry, but recently I was brought to tears and there were tears of joy and sheer relief. It's a challenge as a parent to monitor and screen each and every show my kids want to watch. We do our best, but it's a ton of effort, as I'm sure you know. I'm so relieved. I now have a source of quality children's programming from a company that doesn't hate me and shares my values. The question is pretty simple. I'm wondering if you can share the story behind the name Bentkey. I've noticed Jeremy wearing the key as a necklace. It certainly seems to have deep importance to him. Thank you again and Godspeed. So I'll let Jeremy tell the story himself. You can go on YouTube and you can find it actually. But the basic premise behind the key is that that is a key to an old theater in Slayton, Texas, which is where Jeremy grew up. And that key was sort of his key to the world of the arts and theater. And so that's why Bentkey is named Bentkey. Kevin says, hey, Ben, you once criticized the annual Burning Man Festival for poor central planning and highlighted it as an illumination of what goes wrong with the heavy-handed government. I was interested to learn the anti-tax small government activist Grover Norquist had been a big fan of the annual festival since 2014. Norquist said he wished to attend because, quote, there's no government that organizes this. That's what happens when nobody tells you what to do. You figure it out. So Burning Man is a refutation of the argument that the state had a place in nature. Just wondering if you agree with this premise and support people's free association with centrally planned non-government entities. I didn't actually criticize the Burning Man Festival for being the heavy hand of government. I criticized it because it's a bunch of drug-addled idiots in the desert who seem to have no idea of how basic functionality works. That was my main critique of Burning Man. I remember making an anti-government critique on the basis of Burning Man. It doesn't seem like it's heavy hand of government kind of stuff that's the problem with Burning Man. It seems like the problem is a bunch of people who don't understand how the world actually works going out to the middle of a desert and then proceeding to turn it all into mud, litter, and poop. That's the problem with Burning Man. Zach says, hey, man, just wondering if the state of Massachusetts has any hope of being saved before it becomes as bad as New York, or is it already too late? It's already too late. Sorry to break it to you. Massachusetts is a Democratic state and ain't turning from that path. It's going to look like California pretty soon. All righty, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here tomorrow with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.